Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to this another episode on this reflection about Fatima. And how Fatima affected the whole 20th century. And I hope it still affects us. Well, we have been saying how to make fit Fatima in our theology, because we will see that Fatima itself, it touches all points of theology, all points of dogmas, all points of our faith, as we will see when we speak about all the bits and pieces of those apparitions. But we are still trying to fit this event, Fatima. And of course, when we try to fit this event, Fatima, we look at other events, other similar events. And of course, it comes to our mind, Lourdes in France, and Guadalupe in Mexico. Well, these are the three apparitions, the three main apparitions that the Church has backed almost right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, of course, the Church always gives much consideration to these apparitions. And the first thing is a methodological doubt. And then the facts impose themselves, as I would say. The facts impose themselves. In these three apparitions, the facts impose themselves for all those that objectively see and give a thought about it. But there are many other claims of apparitions, many. There are over 20 at all times, in all places. And at the time when I was studying in Madrid, in the 80s, there was this apparition at Garabandal, north of Spain. And that's one of the apparitions that the whole Spanish Episcopal Conference went against, and they pronounced themselves, the Church does not back this apparition. There are many apparitions that the Church backs them and allows pilgrims to go there, and others it expresses some reservations, and of course still others completely ban them. It was because of this Garabandal, I believe, that in Spain a saying came out, and it's kind of a joke, but it makes you laugh, but it has some truth on it. It says in Spanish, let me see if I can translate it into English. It says, "A todos los tontos se les aparece la Virgen." That means all the foolish ones think they have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. All the foolish ones think they have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. Well, it means All fools claim to have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is a fact that many of the supernatural experiences that some people claim to have had are nothing but manifestations of mental illness, such as schizophrenia. That is why this expression comes to dispel all types of paranormal phenomena. You see, if you are close to a schizophrenic person and you are looking at the same tree, the schizophrenic person might put close to the tree something that is not there. He will say, well, there is a man in front of that tree, don't you see it? And the other one that is not a schizophrenic will say, no, I only see the tree, there is no man in front of the tree, only you see it. But he doesn't see it in, he sees it in his mind and only in his mind, but his mind projects it outside. So it looks real to him. It looks real to him, but it's not real. You know, schizophrenic people, they have double personality, and so they play other roles. And this is one of the diseases, but there are others that make if you are a religious person, of course, if you are not a religious person, forget about apparitions, you will never. But if you are a religious person, your psychological disease gets religious overtones and gets the religious content and uses it in an unhealthy way. So it is true, but be careful, and that's why the church always goes very slowly in all these apparitions. We might come to speak with about some of them when we will be speaking about the difference between private revelations and public revelation. That's an important thing. All apparitions and visions, they come under the title of private revelations. That means that you don't have to believe them. They are not important to our faith. Important to our faith is the public revelation, and there is only one public revelation, which is Jesus. That's the only public revelation. And Jesus spoke once and for all, because Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, so his revelation is an everlasting one. And so that means it's all you have to know is Jesus. It's all you have to imitate is Jesus. That's what a Christian person is, a Christ-like person. Even the revelation of the Holy Spirit, comes within the revelation of Christ. Because remember that Jesus himself told about the Holy Spirit, I will send you the Holy Spirit that will tell you all the truth. But he's taking from what is mine. He says clearly, he's not revealing new things. There is nothing new. You know, in as far as the heaven, in as far as heaven revelation, there is nothing new under the sun. There will not be nothing new under the sun. In as far as what God has spoken through his Son, Jesus Christ. And why is that? Why the Word of God is eternal. And why is it eternal? Because the Word of God comes to fit human nature. The Word of God is like human nature is the computer, if you to understand it in a better way. If human nature is the computer, the Word of God is the working system for that computer. So it's the Windows or the Apple for that computer. So a computer does not work without a working system. And so the Word of God, but the nature, the computer never changes. Nature, human nature never changes. That's why the Word of God, that is for that person to live on, never changes. That's why Jesus came once and for all, and the next time he comes is to judge the living and the dead. He's not coming to reveal something new. Even the Holy Spirit, that is God within us, is not revealing something new. It's only helping us to actualize, to bring the eternal Word of God, but is also historical Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that makes a word that is 2,000 years old as far as the New Testament, or over 4,000 years old in as far as Old Testament. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms that Word of God, that whole the book, I would say, into a living word, into a living word. Somebody said the scriptures grow with those who read them. Yeah, with those who read them under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Once they let themselves be guided and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the whole the scriptures become new scriptures. Why the whole scriptures gave life to people 2,000 years ago, and they are still giving life to us, and they will be giving life to people in 10,000 years from now? Because the Word of God comes to human nature, and human nature never changes. So we were saying about public revelations and private revelations. Public revelation is singular. There is only one. Even the Holy Spirit fits in this public revelation of Jesus. Private revelations, there are many. And you might be inclined to believe some of those and not to believe some of others. They are not as important as in public revelation, and you cannot put them side by side. As a matter of fact, the public revelation of Jesus, the gospel, so to say, it's the criteria. It's one of the criteria for these public revelations. From these private revelations, if you see within this private revelation, if you see something that does not agree, if a person that is having these private revelations, if the what the person says that he or she has seen has been revealed to him or her, if that does not agree with the gospel, that's one of the main criteria to say this God has not spoken through these to this person, because God does not contradict, himself. So these the all private revelations have to be measured up with the gospel. The gospel, it's the meter where all private revelations need to be measured. And you know, Radio Maria, the image of Mary that we use in Radio Maria is from Medjugorje. And of course, Medjugorje is not one of those apparitions that the Church has backed. And as a matter of fact, it looks like there are problems with Medjugorje, because it has happened already many years ago, and the Church still doubts about it. Still, the Church still has many questions about it. See, the difference between Medjugorje and all these other three that I'm speaking about is that, as I said, in very early, the Church approved them. Very early, you know, within 2, 3, 4 years, that was it, because the facts spoke by themselves. Well, it's not the same about Medjugorje. The Church has many reservations, and I would say this is the main one about after these three, Fatima, Guadalupe, and Lourdes. Medjugorje would be the fourth one that is, it looks like it's very important, because many people go there, many priests go there. Well, and Radio Maria, Father Livio, from Italy, is very much in love with Medjugorje. That's why we even adopted the image of Mary from there. Okay. Well, what can I tell you? I've never been in Medjugorje, and to be honest with you, I will never go there, unless the Church gives its backing fully. So, unless the Church does the same as she did with these other three. And many of these backing is sometimes is the popes go and visit. I've never seen a pope go and visit Medjugorje, and all the Church says is their reservations about Medjugorje. So if you from a parish invite me to guide a pilgrimage there, I will say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there individually, and I'm not going there guiding a pilgrimage until the Church approves it fully. Why do I have this this position? Well, I better be wrong with the Church than right with just a couple of people. You know, I don't have time to investigate, to research about Medjugorje as I did with the other three. When the church that has people that really much more knowledgeable than me and specialized on these things, when these people give their opinion, their positive opinion, then I will go into it myself. So let this be. Well, if you think, well, but you don't think like Father Livio, and we don't have to think like everybody. But then, as well, my advantage is that I am with the Church. So I speak about what the Church approves. So this being clear, let us move on from these private revelations and public revelations. We will touch this subject again, but I think we have said enough for now. Within these private revelations, there are many people. You see, there are many people. I know. I even know priests. They don't believe in Fatima. Private revelations, you have an option to believe or not to believe. And as a matter of fact, even the Fatima protagonists, I don't mean the three children, but I mean their parents. The father of Jacinta Marto and the father of Francisco Marto, they were brothers, as you know, their father, right from the very first minute, he believed, I will tell you later on why he believed. Right from the first minute, he believed that his kids, Mr. Marto, have seen the Blessed Virgin Mary. He believed them. Well, on the contrary, the mother of Lucia never believed. Well, and Lucia was the main child, is the one that lived. I will say, you know, for me, Lucia is the evangelist of Fatima, because she was the one who stayed. The little children died one year after Francisco and 2 years after Jacinta. And by the way, Francisco died of a pandemic. The last pandemic that the world has experienced, the Spanish flu. Francisco died of the Spanish flu, so we might just remember he was one of these 50 million victims of the Spanish flu. At that time, we didn't even know what was a virus. So what we are living in is the second pandemic after that Spanish flu, which is wrongly called Spanish flu. It not even started in Spain, probably started in China, as many of these. And the first cases were even in North America, in Boston. But anyway, it was called the Spanish flu because nobody spoke about it. And since Spain did not enter the war, they were freely, openly speaking about this pandemic. Okay? So we were saying that the private revelations are many. Some believe in these private revelations, some believe in ones, they don't believe in others. Already in Fatima, let alone Maria Rosa, the mother of Lucia, she didn't believe. And as I will tell you later, she was once cured by Our Lady of Fatima. Exactly, you know, Lucia prayed that she would cure her mother. She was sick, and her mother was cured. And amazingly, after being cured, she said, "Well, the Blessed Virgin Mary cured me, but I still don't believe. I don't know how is this. You know, sometimes it's difficult to believe, difficult to give in." And she was a big woman. I will tell you about her in another program. Okay, but look, the same thing in the in the Miracle of the Sun at Fatima. There were 70,000 people gathered. Some saw, others didn't. Now you tell me. So it's still very much in agreement with what I said. The extraordinary happens in the ordinary. You need faith for it to happen, as I said, for the miracle to happen in the gospel. You need faith, but you also need faith to see it. And those who didn't believe at Fatima, they did not see anything wrong with the sun, or whatever they saw, they found it natural, normal, nothing extraordinary. So you see, faith is always there. In these private revelations, we have a difference between visions and apparitions. Visions. So the difference between vision and apparition is that it's like a movement. Apparition is heaven that comes to earth, and vision is earth that goes to heaven. So let me explain this. Apparition is indeed extraordinary. It's heaven that manifests itself. The apparitions that I'm speaking about are apparitions. The three little shepherds were not waiting on the Blessed Virgin Mary to appear to them. This is the same as the apostles. And there is a precedent for these apparitions, which is the very same apparition of Jesus that rose from dead. The apostles of Emmaus were not waiting for him, waiting to see him. The apostles ran in fear. They were not waiting on the resurrection. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she was not hoping to see Jesus alive. She was going to pay tribute to a dead body. So it took them by surprise, as it took also the little shepherds by surprise. And that's the difference between visions and apparitions. The vision is something that happened to you, to some, not to everybody, is something that happens to those holy people that have a life of sacrifice, a life of prayer, a life of meditation and contemplation and of fasting, so a life of an ascetic life, because there is no mystic without ascesis. So these people that have a life of ascesis, which is limiting their material, in their lives, they become so spiritual that they indeed have a vision of Jesus, of Mary, of a saint. They have a vision because they are so much up there already that the there opens itself for them. But they worked it out, you see. They were in the gym. They work out. They were in the spiritual gym. They work out this, so they had an experience. But an apparition is normal people that were chosen by God, that God chose to reveal themselves, and they were sure they were not expecting it. They were not counting it. So, but since I would have other things to tell you for this program, we will continue next time. So, till there, stay safe.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.